Hello, Steve.
Hello, Winston. How are you?
Great.
Great. Well, listen, today's date is December 12, 2009. It's 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a Saturday night. And take it away, Winston. First of all, I'm going to start off by asking you, you own a site. First of all, your name is Winston Wu, and you are the proprietor of happierabroad.com. It's a website that teaches men in the Western world how to meet women obviously meet women outside of the Western world, such as countries like the United States, Canada, and England. What is the whole format of your site, and why are you doing what you do?
Back in 2002, I made some wonderful discoveries that changed my life, and that is that dating and social fulfillment and mental health are much better overseas for me and a lot of other people. And this was very profound and life-changing and transformative. And unfortunately, it is not very well publicized because it's very politically incorrect, and there's kind of a taboo in America about saying that something is better outside or relationships outside. But so basically, in a nutshell, I discovered that relationships and my self-esteem and mental health were much, much better overseas. And ever since then, I've been sharing that with other people, and there's been so many other people from my website that have made the same discovery and validated me and had the same experiences. And I just feel that such a life-changing thing is important to share with the world. And apparently, I'm one of the few people, or possibly the only one, doing it. So I created this website with essays, photos, testimonials to share this and prove it. So, because there's a lot of people that need to know this that don't know about it because we're not told this kind of stuff.
Well, I tell you, I totally agree with that, and I think that the dating scene is a disaster in the United States, the Western world. I hear people from Britain saying it's terrible over there. But I guess the question I have is, what exactly do, I mean, the options that what you're very you get really very analytical into the psychology of the dating scene as it pertains to the Western world. What do you think of the words like creep? You just want to get laid. Obviously, this is there. Recently, with the Tiger Woods fiasco going on, it seems like everybody's caught up in this idea that it's evil for a man to want to meet women and get laid. And not that that's the end all be all, but I mean, do you think that's a Western phenomenon versus like, do you think the rest of the world laughs at us?
Oh, definitely, and you've really nailed the problem on the head. I mean, there is this stigma in the West that if you like a girl, if you show the interest in her, if you flirt with her, even if you go out and try to meet girls, it's you're considered a creep and some kind of predator, and all this is really negative because it feeds into this paranoia of people that, especially against men, that men are creeps and that they need to mind their own business, and that it just ruins the whole dating thing, the whole relationship thing. Because in most overseas countries, it's not like that at all. And I was shocked to find this, that when you flirt or express interest in other countries, it's seen as allowable and permissible, and you actually have fun when you flirt with girls in other countries, regardless of whether they're interested in you romantically or not. You just don't feel like a creep in doing so. So it's always a fun, enjoyable experience to flirt, meet girls, and get to know them. I mean, even if it goes nowhere, it just feels so natural and smooth, like it's a part of the flow, and it's acceptable to want to meet girls. You feel accepted in that sense and validated, that having desires to go out and flirt is normal and acceptable, not creepish, because when you feel like a creep, it kind of emotionally drains you and it discourages you from trying it again. And the thing is, most Americans assume that all this is normal, but once they go overseas and experience the opposite, then they realize that it's not normal and that it's a dysfunctional aspect of our culture. And this is life-changing, and it's not just about dating. It's about how you feel about yourself, too. It's your self-esteem. And, I mean, every place has pros and cons, but at the end of the day, if you feel good about yourself, that's the bottom line. That's the most important thing, is to feel good about who you are and to feel validated and accepted and to have social relationships with other people. You can make friends. You can get dates easier. It's just the whole thing is much more natural. There's no techniques you have to use. You can just be yourself and be liked, as long as you're a decent guy with no major personality defects, that is.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The point you make there, one of the things that I kind of feel bad about is that I tell you, I've noticed this thing with women, because when I've lived in apartment complexes, the attitude that women have today is, I don't think all women are hostile. What I think it is in American culture, we have been so raised, like if a girl says, how you doing, Steve, or how you doing, Winston, that immediately sets off this, well, if I say that to him as a friend, he might pursue it as you're too nice. So women, are, in a way, are in a dilemma too, because they realize that if they are nice to a guy just on a friendship level, that this is going to invite the idea that, hey, maybe she likes me. And so we are really caught in a crossroads of, it's a no-win situation for men and women, both kind of, although I will say the dating scene surely favors women. What's your take on that?
It definitely favors women, because they have all the choices in the U.S., and there's just so many nice guys in the U.S. that can't get dates more than in any other country that I have been to, and but most of them deny it, or they think that the problem is themselves, and they think they have to fix something, because most people believe what the media says, and the media says that it's easy to make friends and get dates in America, because it looks that way in movies and stuff. And so a lot of guys think that's normal, and they'll con themselves into thinking that. So there's a big denial over it. But yeah, women are conditioned in the U.S. to see it as negative if a guy, you know, has an interest in them, or if or even just hanging out with a guy as a friend is seen as kind of like, oh no, people will think that we're dating and stuff, and even if people thought that, it's not a bad thing. But there's just this paranoia in the U.S. toward dating and toward relationships, and this segregation that you don't find anywhere else. And it's not about being isolated in the suburbs. It's not a matter of geography. For example, if you went to a village in remote Siberia in Russia, I mean, the village would be geographically isolated, but you'd never have the sense that people are distant and disconnected. There's a camaraderie over there that's really missing in the U.S., and there's a natural sense of connection and wholeness, and you just feel like you can have fun and be yourself. Even in a remote village, it's like that. I mean, everyone feels connected. There's no psychological segregation. And so what I'm talking about is an attitude where every man is an island, not physically, but psychologically. In attitude, people are disconnected and distanced, and the bottom line is there's just no sense of connection in America, human connection, that is. So that's why even when you're in a crowd of people, or even among your friends or acquaintances, you can feel all alone, because there's just this disconnectedness, this barrier between people, and it's very obvious, but it's not being talked about. It's one of those things that people know and can feel, but you're not supposed to talk about it. It's kind of like the Emperor's New Clothes syndrome, and it just appalls me that something dysfunctional is so silent. I mean, that we have such a big blackout over it, like it's being denied and we're not supposed to talk about it, and that's really appalling to me, because it's dysfunctional. It erodes relationships, and it erodes your self-esteem to be so disconnected and lonely. And incidentally, if you do the research, you'll find that the U.S. has the highest rates of mental illness and loneliness in the industrialized world. So that alone tells you right there that it's a social problem, and it's not a matter of me being not good enough or there's something wrong with me. I mean, there's definitely a social epidemic, and you can see that in the statistics. America has some great things about it, but it is probably the loneliest country in the world, and the lack of human connection is the biggest there, more than I've seen anywhere else.
Yeah. Not to mention Winston, all the damn bureaucracy we have. You know, when you look at third world countries like in Africa or South America, despite the fact that you have there's a huge gap between rich and poor. Poor people have much more autonomy over their lives because if they raise their kids or they spank their kids, they don't have government bureaucracies kicking the doors down with jackbooted thugs with Darth Vader uniforms telling them this is the way it is. You know, there's so many evil things about America in the Western world in general that are just not being talked about. I've talked about this. This gets into, like, you know, you believe in conspiracy theories, so do I, because I definitely believe that the dating scene and as it pertains to men is definitely a conspiracy in the sense that the decisions that are being made in our society are downright evil. And in third world or second world countries, like I said, despite the fact that there are bigger gaps between rich and poor, not much different now that the America is changing, but they have less bureaucracy controlling their individual lives. With the whole sexual harassment thing, that falls into bureaucracy. I mean, years ago, a guy could say, wow, look at that dame. She's really hot. But now it's like you say that in a workplace and you're looking at a sexual harassment lawsuit. I mean, our lives are definitely – if people don't believe that we are living in a tightly controlled matrix, they're living in a world of illusion. What's your take on that?
Oh, that's definitely all true. I mean, for some reason, we're socially engineered to live in fear and to be segregated and paranoid. And it could be a conspiracy because, there's some rumors. Like, for example, I don't know if you've heard the clip of Aaron Russo talking about what he talked about with Nick Rockefeller a long time ago, that the Rockefellers funded the feminist movement. So there's all kinds of rumors and conspiracies, and they could be true, but the bottom line is that there does seem to be some element that segregates people, makes them paranoid, and lives in fear. And it seems like people are made to be fearful so that they can be weak and easily manipulated. So that does seem to be the case. And most people do live in fear, and that's a tragedy because when you live in fear, you can't be your best. You're weak. You're paranoid. You believe whatever, you know, you're told. Most countries, I'd say the elite have ways of conditioning and brainwashing people and making them live in fear because it's in the best interest of the elite to have the population living in fear so they can be easily controlled and manipulated. But in the U.S., it just seems like one of the worst for that because people they're not just living in fear, but they're disconnected from each other too, and they don't like social contact as much, and so it's kind of a closed, insular society where people, you know, have these small cliques, and if you don't have one, then you're basically alone.
Yeah, you know what, Winston?
You just can't go out and meet people, yeah.
The Winston, what I was going to say about the cliques thing, you're absolutely right about that because I want to interject here. The cliques thing, you know, one would think that when you go to a baseball game, like let's say you're at a sold-out stadium of 80,000 people at a college football game, one would think that, oh, these people are all social. They're all in a group hanging out. But in reality, they're just in cliques. They're in little 3-4 group cliques. They don't really have – outside their little 4-group clique or 2-group clique, they don't really have any connection with people. And it's easy to think that Americans are connected, but yet we're a very lonely people. And I mean, this all falls into why the dating scene is the way it is. We are living in total fear and isolation. When people turn on the TV and they watch a show like Law and Order, they say that Mariska Hargitay or one of the lead characters on one of those shows says, if you say the wrong thing, you're going to prison. You're going to get raped in there. People really believe that they push this fear factor on people so much that people really think that if they speak out against the government, they're going to get gang raped in prison. And I think fear is the number one thing that these Western governments have used on people. Fear that you'll get raped in prison. Fear that you'll get a sexual harassment lawsuit. Fear that you'll be labeled as a pedophile. Fear that you'll be fired from your job for seeing the wrong thing. I mean, fear seems to be the modus operandi that these people are using. And dating is no exception, because no guy wants to go out in public and admit these things are true about the dating scene.
No, and I mean, there's on the internet and on YouTube and Google Video, there's a lot of conspiracy videos now about the New World Order and about the global government or whatever, one world government, and that's really received a lot of attention the last few years. But they're all about government issues and economic issues and about fascism. I mean, I seem to be one of the only people talking about dating and social life as well. I mean, a lot of these conspiracy leaders are great thinkers. They're brilliant, but they, for some reason, they don't talk about this issue that in America there's like no sense of social connectedness, whereas in most countries there's a much greater sense of social connectedness, and this is very obvious. I mean, expats talk about it, travelers talk about it, smart guys that I meet in hostels talk about it. But for some reason, it's never publicly mentioned.
Yeah, you're
not
right.
Even on
you're
the
right.
Internet.
Listen, I didn't want to go off on a tangent, Winston, but I was just saying that the dating scene falls into the same thing of being disconnected, because if you think about it, David Icke said this one time. He says that he goes, all of these different fringe groups are always fighting. One's fighting this group. One's fighting this conspiracy. He says, but in reality, we're all fighting the same evil system. Because if you think about it, all these evil things that are happening to us, whether they be the dating scene or the economic system, all fall into the fact that it's control. And I know that, you know, I don't think we can solve the dating scene until we come to some sort of level of interaction. See, I think the dating problem is a symptom of the problem. It's not the problem. It's a symptom of many problems that have been created through these elite globalists and that have obviously brainwashed us with this fear. Like I said, the whole thing with television making you fear that if you say the wrong thing, you'll go to jail and God knows what will happen to you. You're right. It's a controversial subject, the dating scene. I'm disgusted with it, and we're such a disconnected group of people.
Oh yeah, and everything is interconnected. So each problem connects to others, and it all contributes in a snowball effect. But yeah, I mean, there does seem to be a taboo even among free thinkers to talk about this, and I think one reason is because if you say that, like it's the U.S. is the hardest place to get a date for a guy, and the women are antisocial and not approachable, which I say on my website a lot. If you say that, you alienate a lot of female listeners. So that's probably one reason the conspiracy leaders, like David Icke or Alex Jones or the Zeitgeist movement, they don't want to touch this. And because it's so politically incorrect that it risks alienating people, especially women, from this. And also, what they focus on is true. I mean, the elite do divide people. That they use the old divide and conquer strategy to divide people, segregate them, and make them weaker. But what they don't tell you is that this is worse in America, because when I go to other countries, I mean, I meet people easily without trying. I mean, like in Europe, for instance, or in Russia, I'll be standing at a bus stop and then, you know, a girl will chat me up and we end up having coffee and having an intelligent conversation on the bus or you just casually meet people anywhere. I mean, the people you meet are not losers. They're well-adjusted, nice, skinny girls that eat right and are mentally balanced. And you know, as you know, the rest of the world is not as obese as in America. People tend to be skinnier. Regardless of which conspiracy theories are true or what the elite plans, I mean, all we can do is speculate. But what I know firsthand is that in other countries, it is easier to meet people, especially girls, and there's a sense of connectedness. And even if I'm physically alone, I don't feel alone because I feel like there's a natural connection with people, and you can sense that from the vibe of the environment, the collective consciousness. Winston, let me say this.
I've read your articles, and you're so intellectually in depth with everything. I can imagine read quotes of it. But how did you come to this conclusion that I mean, this is such a taboo subject. When you mention people being disconnected, people are like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I talk to my friends. How do you feel, and specifically, if people in fact are going about their daily life socializing with friends and family, how do you think that they're really disconnected? I mean, do you really think that let's say you take an average guy that can't get a date, do you think that he internalizes some sort of angst or frustration that he just can't put a finger on? Do you think it takes a certain modicum of intelligence to understand what's going on? Because I mean, how does an average guy who can't get a date or get laid, for that matter, really deal with this? Because he will deny it. He will flat out deny it's a problem. Is there a certain frustration that maybe instinctively he knows is true?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. I mean, I've had people write me and tell me that they've always felt that there was a problem, but they can't put their finger on it. It's like, you know, there's something wrong with this dating scene and this social disconnectedness in America, and not only that, but there's an inner fragmentation inside of you too. Like, there's not a wholeness, because you don't feel like you can even be yourself in the U.S. for some reason, in most of the country. But yeah, there is this emptiness, but it's being denied, and you're programmed to think that it's normal, and the culture kind of teaches you to fill that emptiness by going out and buying things and consuming and being a workaholic slave to a corporation. So you're basically taught to fill the emptiness and your weakness by consuming and working a lot. And none of those things really fill that emptiness, of course. They're just distractions. But the emptiness is still there, and it's a sad thing because a lot of people do feel empty and depressed, and if you look at the depression rates and the mental illness rates in the U.S., I mean, they're high. They're considered the highest in the industrialized world, and possibly they're the highest in the whole world. But people are taught to deny these things because, number one, they're taught to blame themselves if they're not happy, and number two, they're taught to always smile and to say everything's great. Like, for example, if you and I worked in an office, Every day I see you, I'd have to say, how are you, Steve? And you'd have to say, oh, I'm great. How about yourself? And then I'd have to say, oh, not too bad. And that's the typical greeting you get in an office environment every day in the U.S. And so you're kind of conditioned to pretend that everything's great and hunky-dory, even if it's not. So there's a big denial of all this loneliness and dysfunction that's going on. It's like it's there, but you're not allowed to admit it, and if you do, you're a loser. And instead, it's kind of like when you go to an Amway meeting or a multi-level marketing meeting, you'll notice that in reality, most people are losing money, but they all act hyped up and happy because they're given all this feel-good rhetoric to be positive and stuff. But so it's like they're acting positive on the outside, but inside they're empty and sad and depressed and. It's like feeding off of an illusion or lie. The multi-level marketing thing, hype or thing, is very reflective of what we're talking about. I mean, it's like a total denial of reality. If you get what I'm saying,
I know exactly, and that's where we come into the whole pickup artist community. The PUA, or pickup artist as it's known, is this feel good feeling that if you're a frustrated heterosexual guy that can't get a date, we have a prize for you. We have a package for you that can help change that. And just like a get rich quick scheme, it promises you the world but delivers absolutely nothing other than makes you feel good, because like you can watch a multi-level marketing presentation or listen to it on audio tape or CD. You can listen or watch one of these PUA videos and think, wow, I feel good about it. But it really delivers nothing other than just a bunch of false promises. And it totally you know what? This gets into this. I think that the PUA is a conspiracy, not a conspiracy. Well, I guess you could say it's a conspiracy. I think the marketers of this knew in advance that there was this plethora of guys out there that couldn't, that had disposable income, that couldn't get dates, and they realized let's rake these SOBs for as much money as we can. And it doesn't solve the problem. I mean, we still have the lonely dating scene. And it's – and by the way, I know this sounds crazy to admit this. I never thought this was true. But looks do matter in the dating scene, whether people like it or not. And I don't know what took me so long to realize this until I got older. Now I'm going to be 40 next year. I'm not as attractive as I used to be. And I realize now looks do matter, because when a woman likes a guy, she will do certain things that show it. So all of these things, the PUA industry is always saying, oh, looks don't matter. You could be a 60-year-old guy making out with a 20-year-old girl. It's just plain BS.
Definitely. I mean, the PUA movement does make a lot of hyped, overhyped, and false promises, just like multi-level marketing does. And they share so many similar characteristics. I mean, the whole thing is like a religion. They claim that their system is perfect. And if you don't get the results, then you got to work on yourself and keep practicing, and they put people into formulas, which doesn't work. People don't fit into formulas, and it's not natural too to have to use techniques to get to know people, because conversation and bonding with others should be a natural process. You be yourself, and the other person bees themselves. And then as long as you're down to earth and natural and sincere, I mean, you can bond naturally. You don't need techniques. And even if PUA did work, it would only attract dumb airheads. I mean, you're not going to get high quality women to fall for you by being cocky and funny, or by teasing them or busting their balls. I mean, most intelligent people see through that. So the best you would be able to get are some dumb airheads who are insecure themselves. So. And furthermore, I've seen no proof that PUA does work, because they don't have any proof that it does. They just have a lot of testimonials and stories, and none of them are verifiable. They're just, I mean, Amway has stories too of people making it rich through their system, but the reality is the average person doesn't, you know, get those results. And for me, the defining criteria of whether a system works or not is whether the average decent guy can take it, the system, and get results consistently. Not just a few people, but the average majority. So if a system can't do that, like PUA or MLM, and they can't, because the average person does not get consistent results with those systems, with PUA or MLM. But with global dating or going abroad, the vast majority of guys report far better social and dating experiences than back in the U.S. I mean, that is consistent. And you don't have to be anything special. You can just be an average nice guy or an average decent guy. And I mean, every guy has issues, but the vast majority of guys are much happier dating abroad than they are in the U.S., for sure. I mean, every guy I've talked to. So global dating fulfills that criteria where the average guy can you know, do this or you know, go abroad to the right country for them and get consistent, better results, whereas MLM doesn't and PUA doesn't. You know, you cannot – that's the bottom line, is whether the average person can get consistent results or not. And – I think that's the defining criteria.
Hey, I got some. Let me add a little more to the Winston. Let me add a little more to the Tiger Woods scenario. I found something out that to be very consistent with American and Western culture. We are, even though a guy could be a good-looking guy and be talented, like Tiger Woods is pretty attractive. I mean, as a guy, he's definitely talented in his field. We in America are led, in the Western world in general, are led to believe that if you're a guy and you're famous and wealthy, you are privileged to have good-looking women in your life. But ultimately, the women are always considered the prize. Hey, what's up, Winston? Sorry, we got disconnected.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. If maybe it dropped or not, but
that's all right.
So you were able to save that, or
okay. Yeah, I'm fine. I saved it, but let's continue where we left off. What was the last thing we said?
Oh, you were asking me about going abroad. If a guy went and I was saying that it's better. And then you mentioned if a guy went to a discotheque or something, uh-huh. if it would be any different or something like that. And then
right.
And then you were in the middle of another question.
I guess it all gets into the psychological mindset of the average American guy. He really can't put a finger on what's going on in his life. So he just kind of accepts it as just the way it is. I don't really think there was some philosopher or somebody I remember one time saying something to the effect that don't try to convince people of something you know that's right. It's just, you know, don't try to become so ego-driven that you got to prove something to somebody. You know, only reach out to the guys that are willing to listen.
Well, yeah, that's basically true about human psychology. I mean, most people don't want to change their beliefs unless they're looking for another answer or looking for an alternative.
Right.
So basically people don't change unless they're looking to change. And you can't tell someone that's closed-minded to change their beliefs because they won't. I mean, I try not to do that. I mean, because I try to reach out to the people who you know, want to know that they're an alternative to the dating and social life in America. And a lot of people don't know that, and I try to reach out to those people who could use that information and would be interested in knowing about it. But I don't just tell people to take what I say on faith. I mean, everything I say, I try to back up with photos, videos, testimonials. I mean, that's why I created those series of clips called Female Encounters, so you can see what it's like to meet girls in a lot of other countries and how much more relaxed and down to earth they are and where the process seems so much more natural and the video is as close as you can get to being there in person. So, I mean, I do tend to back up everything I say. I don't ask you to take anything I say on faith. I never do that, and I don't believe that because there's so much BS out there and so much hype that you know, I'm really disgusted by that, and I would never want to be a part of it. Everything I say, I have a very good reason for, and that's why people tend to believe me because I'm very honest. I tell it like it is, even if it makes me look bad. Mm-hmm. And I don't claim to be perfect either. I admit to my faults, and so you'll get a very refreshing honesty from me that
right.
you won't get with most people.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. But then here, let me ask this other question. What about the idea that no particular guy who's working a job can just jump ship tomorrow and head out to a different country? I mean, it takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of, what if you have a full-time job? You have a good factory job I don't say factory job. Those don't exist anymore, but let's say you have a job where you're making enough money to survive, and you got bills to pay. Is meeting a woman the thing that should be on your mind?
Well, that's a personal issue that every person has to grasp. I mean, every situation is different. I mean, some people have attachments in the U.S. and some don't, but you just got to work it in. I mean, if you have a regular job and only get 2 weeks off a year, then you can use those 2 weeks to go abroad to a country that you want to go to and you know, or meet a girl online from another country and see how it goes there. But that's another way you can tell just from home is by if you meet girls from like tagged.com, for example, foreign girls, and then you talk to them on Skype or Yahoo Messenger, you can notice a different attitude just from talking to them through the webcam chat and through Skype or Yahoo Messenger voice. And you can see the difference in their attitude right there.
Right.
Not every foreign girl is going to be an angel. I mean, there's a lot of opportunists and scam artists. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad. But overall, they're much more inclusive and friendly, and they're not as hateful toward men as, you know, the Western females are conditioned to. So overall, it's a positive experience. And let me use an analogy. As you know, Babe Ruth has a record for home runs, but he also has a record for the most strikeouts. So it's okay to fail and to have bad experiences or you know, to not have things work out. The bottom line is are you allowed to bat or not? And, you know, as long as you're allowed to bat, like Babe Ruth was, then you're in the game, so to speak. And because once you're out of the game, it just feels so hopeless and depressing. Like you can't do anything if you're not even allowed to bat. Mm-hmm. But if you're allowed to bat, it doesn't matter how many times you strike out, because you're still going to get some successes and home runs either way a few times. And that's what motivates you and keeps you going, is being allowed to bat.
Uh-huh. Right.
And the worst thing is when you're out of the game and not even allowed to bat. And that's you got to look at the big picture and see what the bottom line is. I'm not saying anything is perfect, but as long as you're in the game, you're allowed to bat, you feel good about yourself, it's easy to meet girls. Overall, the quality of life is just so much better and more wholesome than right. if you're isolated and segregated and feeling like you can't do anything. I mean, that's the worst.
Well, yeah, that's the worst.
And that's really the bottom.
Do you think, though, that what's wrong with just finding a girl in this country? Okay, what? You know, let's say, for instance, I meet a woman. Okay, any woman, and we decide to hit it off, get married. What's wrong? Once I found a woman, who cares whether or not the dating scene sucks? Because I've got one woman. What do you think of that?
That's definitely a factor. There's a lot of married couples in the U.S. I mean, some are happy and some are not, and some just go through the motions. I mean, if you can find a girl, then more power to you. But, I mean, it's not that easy. You can't just go out and meet a nice quality girl. It takes time. And that's another difference, is that in the U.S., for the average guy, I mean, without a lot of social connections, it can take years for you to find the right person who you're interested in and is interested in you back, that you're mutually attracted to. I mean, that can take years, it can take longer, it can take months, it can take many years, and you just don't have any control over that. So basically, you're kind of like a victim of circumstance, and you can only accept what destiny throws your way. Whereas if you go to a country where there's all these single girls and where you're meeting lots of girls and having a lot of connections, I mean, you get more choices every day than you do in the U.S. And that's the bottom line, is choices. You get a lot more choices and you feel better that way. It's like when you go to Walmart and you want to buy something and there's so many choices and brands that you have. Whereas if you go to a little small store with just one brand, then you don't have very many choices. And so it's good to have all those choices, you know, so you're not stuck and have to settle for something you don't want just because you have no other options. I was a victim of that, too. It took me several years to get a girlfriend in the U.S. And then when I did, I'd have to hold on to her for dear life and try to please her, because I knew that if I lost her, I could wait several years again and be lonely for several years, you know, if I lost her and had to wait for another girl to come. And so it's like you have to hold on to her for life in desperation, and that's just sad, and no man should have to live that way. But unfortunately, that's the way a lot of, you know, it is for a lot of guys. I mean, there are nice girls in the U.S. They're just hard to meet, and most of them are not single. I mean, if you go out and chat up girls on the street or on the bus, for instance, pretty much all of them will tell you that they have a boyfriend, whether they do or not. And I've noticed that. Like, if I go out and meet 100 girls, you know, pretty much all of them tell me they have a boyfriend, or they'll give me their number and then screen out my calls. Whereas in other countries, I can always meet a nice girl that's good-looking and will say, I'm single. Yeah, I'm available. I mean, there's always single available girls that I meet, you know, and so, I mean, that's a big difference right there. that I've noticed.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that what it boils down to is the fact is that ultimately the dating scene is obviously not what you'd expected in America, because we know it's and we've talked for the things we mentioned before. So you go out this. Once you decide, what do you do? Get a passport? Is there any country do you particularly recommend that's better than the others? I mean, if a white guy wants to meet a woman in the Philippines, does he have a good chance?
Oh, for sure. I mean, for dating, the Philippines is one of the top spots. I mean, the girls are very warm and inclusive, and they just make you feel good about yourself. They treat you good. But I mean, it's a poor country here, so there's not as many conveniences. And
who cares about conveniences? We're talking about women. We're talking about the ability for a guy to feel like a man. The conveniences, obviously, we know that it's not as modern, as high-tech as the United States, but is it going to make a man feel more like a man that knows he can attract a woman?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's important, but what I mean is, for some guys, I mean, that the conveniences might be important. It just depends, because people have different tolerance levels and annoyances levels, and, you know, places have different pros and cons. I'm just saying that not just the Philippines, but in Asia in general, it's kind of a more simple, narrow-minded culture where most people you meet are not going to be very, you know, intellectual. Most people are very good and decent people, but you don't have as much of an intellectual or intelligent conversation as you do in Europe, for example. If you go to Europe, you'll meet people who can have a lot more, you know, intelligent conversation than you would in Asia, for example. That's a pro and a con. And the culture is also richer, you know, there's more museums and historical sites, and for culture and history, Europe is like the top area of the world. So different places have different pros and cons, and you got to decide what's most important to you. You know, what's your values? I mean, how important are main streets to you? How important are conveniences? How important is your self-esteem? And I mean, every place is going to have a mixture of annoying things and things you like. And the trick is learning how to balance that. But either way, whether you're in Europe or in Asia, I mean, you're going to feel more connected and more normal, and when you interact with people, it's going to flow a lot more smoothly than in the U.S. probably. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, when you look at the big picture, that's really where it counts. But there's no one place that's right for everyone, you know, because we're all different. And you just got to go ahead and try different things. And if you have attachments like a house or a job in the U.S., you just got to work it in the vacations. And some people only come – I mean, I have a friend who comes here every few weeks. I mean stays for a few weeks at a time and then goes back, and because he has a house he has to take care of in America. So, but he's happy when he comes here. And you just got to remember the motto, where there's a will, there's a way. So,
all right.
At least, you know, I provide I'd like to provide some hope for those people that are, you know, socially alienated in the States.
Uh-huh.
That the problem is not them, you know, but I really hope you can come down sometime and see or experience all this for yourself.
Yeah, I think
then you'll know. I mean, most things you have to experience, I mean, just to mentally know about it is a different thing. I mean, before I ever went overseas, I mean, it was just a theory. I mean, I had thought about it here and there, but you know, I felt that, you know, America was the center of the world. It was the greatest here, and I wanted to try to make it in America. Right. I wanted to get the girls I wanted in the U.S. And so that was my mentality, was that why go overseas? It's better to succeed in your own home world than it is there. But
right.
But most guys are locked into that kind of thinking that they'd rather succeed, you know, where they're at and then go somewhere else. But once you go somewhere else and broaden your horizon and expand your world, you realize that, oh, why should I stick in a losing situation when it's better here? You realize that your reality is not as narrow as you thought. And I mean, it takes experience to see that. You don't see that if you just, you know, stay where you grew up.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to explain, but once you're it's almost like a sense of reality. Once your sense of reality is expanded and globalized, you see everything in a completely different way than you did before.
Right.
And you just got to experience that. And I try to show people that through all the material on my website as much as possible, through the photos, the videos, and I also have a forum too. So if you want to, you know, ask questions or get advice, you can come to the forum at happierabroad.com. Click on the link to the forum, and then, you know, post your questions or whatever. And not just me, but there's other expats on the forum. Some have been living overseas for even longer than me.
Winston, what is the whole psychology behind these so-called American expats? What are these people? What is their agenda? Do they feel that they're superior to everybody else? Because I see a lot of that with Americans that, like, move to Amsterdam. They go, well, I'm an American expat. What the hell? Like, do they think, like, they're, like, some special breed of Americans that have taken some quantum leap? I mean, what is this whole thing?
Well, some do. I mean, when you grow up in the U.S., you sort of have a little bit of an inferiority complex because the culture kind of erodes your self-esteem and makes you feel like you're not good enough. So you got to constantly prove yourself. It's like running a treadmill in America where you have to prove your worth. Otherwise, you're not worth anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a lot of people are narcissistic and ego-driven, and then when they're in another country, they carry this baggage of having to prove themselves and assert themselves, and they find that it's easier because there's not this grueling competitiveness in other countries as there is in the U.S.
Right.
But you'll find expats of all kinds. You'll find the dysfunctional kind. You'll find the misfit kind. You'll find, you know, an a-hole kind. You'll meet losers too. I mean, there's all kinds, and you'll find guys that just don't fit in, but they're really nice, decent guys. Or guys that have just fallen in love with a different culture. I mean, there's all kinds of people everywhere you meet, you just gotta be able to discern. I mean, you gotta have the ability to read people, and that comes with experience. In the U.S., you don't tend to meet as many people because people are more closed into cliques.
Right.
But once you travel a lot and meet a lot of people, you'll be able to tell, you know, good people from bad, and who you get along with and click with more. You'll be able to identify those types more easily and quickly as you go along. So, and like attracts like. I mean, you tend to draw people who are similar to yourself to you. Those are the types that tend to become your friends. So, so there's all kinds of people everywhere, and the bottom line is it's a lot easier to meet people in most countries than it is in the U.S. or in countries that are kind of closed. I mean, Japan is like a closed society too,
yeah,
where people don't talk to strangers much.
No, I think the Japanese are almost the extreme. They seem like they're very closed. It's amazing that Japanese people have any kind of social life considering the way they are.
Yeah, well, it's like the U.S. I mean, you grow up with your friends, and you're introduced to your friends by other friends, and it's you kind of have to be introduced to break the ice.
Right.
But I mean, Japan is closed and insular too, but it's a different type of closed. I mean, people are still more modest there, and they aren't as egotistic. You know, it's Or even though they're closed, they're still in a sense of inner inner wholeness. It's like,
yeah,
it's not like, yeah, you don't feel like this persecution where you're inadequate or insecure around them. I mean, if I walked around Tokyo, for instance, yeah, maybe I won't meet very many people unless, you know, I have a few friends introduce me to them. You know, but at least I'll feel, you know, like there's no pressure. Like, I can just be myself, and whether they like it or not, it's fine. I mean, there's not this sense of being lost or disfragmented. But there are people that say, you know, they've been to Japan and they get better girlfriends and better dates than they do in the U.S. I mean,
right.
There's guys that say that too. I mean, some countries have mixed reviews. Germany is another country where it's like that. Some guys go there and then they'll say, oh, the culture is very closed and not that open and friendly. And other guys will say, oh, they made lots of nice friends there and they met a lot of sweet girls that really like them. So everyone's experience is going to be different. And you just, like I said, you got to go try it and see what works for you.
Right.
No.
That's a good point there. So where do we conclude with this? Where do people go if they want to find out more about your site, and what do they have to do?
Well, you can log on to my site at www.ddierabroad.com, and there's an introduction letter at the top. You can start there, then work your way down, and then see the executive summary and the introduction, and then view the one-page pamphlet, and there's a lot of articles there too. And then you don't have to see all this in any sort of order, but you can just see several things, especially the photo collage. It'll show you, you know, how my dating life has completely changed by going overseas. And you'll see a lot there. I mean, because people like to see pictures, and the pictures are sort of hard evidence. They're sort of proof, you know, because words, talk is cheap, you know, but right. Pictures are the next level of proof. And now I have a few videos that you can look at, too, that back up my claims. And then I have a lot of wonderful testimonials on there, and then I have a community, a forum, where you can go there and then participate with other people. And you see, and that's the thing. I mean, if a website has something to hide generally, they generally won't have a forum where you can talk to independent people who don't have a vested interest in the site about the content of the site. If a site has something to hide, they won't usually have that. But if they do, then you know, they're not afraid to expose themselves to independent feedback and reviews. And if you go on the forum, you'll see that pretty much everyone on there agrees that dating and social life are better abroad. And I don't claim to be this perfect guy with no faults. You know, I'm not at all. I mean, like I said, the most important thing is that you're in the game and you're allowed to bat, no matter how many times you strike out. And I mean, I've experienced rejection too overseas, but it didn't matter because it was always a fun and enjoyable experience. And right now I have a great girlfriend that I'm with every day, who treats me good and is always happy to cook and clean. And when I go out with her, people stare at her because she looks like a model.
Okay.
Outside. And so
this is your girlfriend?
And so, yeah, I get what I want. Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were...
Yeah, there's some pictures of her on the website.
Well, I thought you were married.
No, I'm not married. I just have a live-in girlfriend.
Okay.
A lot of people have that misconception.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, she's just with me, and it's almost like we're married, kind of like a common law. But she's very beautiful, and much more beautiful than anyone I could have gotten in the U.S. for sure. Everyone has said that. But either way, I mean, yeah. So I don't claim to be perfect, but I am a truth seeker, and I tell the truth, and I. tell you exactly how it is, both sides. So if you want to open your mind and possibly look at changing your life and expanding your field from a local field to a global field, then come to my website, happierabroad.com, and look at all the material. It'll open your eyes and change your life, possibly.
Right. That sounds like a plan. It sounds like you know what you're definitely looking for then. And it sounds like you've
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. There are some things I know. There are some things I'll go ahead.
No, I said it sounds like you've really got – you've nipped it in the bud as to what men are looking for today, is that they're looking for a sense of belonging. And if they have to go overseas to find that, then maybe that's the option or that's the answer.
Yeah. Well, what I've learned is that if you're a lonely, dateless guy in America, I mean, you have options. One is to stay there and work on yourself and hope things get better, you know, or try to change your life or change the society or try to change America, which is, I mean, a daunting task to try to change a whole country. But, or the other is to go abroad. And the thing is, I mean, it might sound like an escape or a loser way out to just go overseas and get what you want there. But, I mean, realistically, if you look at it, I mean, the success and happiness rate and the results are much better when you go overseas. I mean, the bottom line is not, you know, whether you look like a loser or not or whether it's a cop-out to go overseas. It's what's get results. If you stay in the U.S. and continue to get the same thing over and over, limited choices and no social connection, I mean, that's kind of insane to just repeat the same failures over and over again.
Well, no, I don't even walk to the bars anymore. I just got to the point where I realized that the bar scene is so cliquish that the only guys that are really getting success with women are the guys that are like regulars or players or whatever. It seems like how many times does a guy have to go to a bar or a club or a venue before he finally realizes that, hey, this game's rigged?
Yeah, and I've noticed too. I mean, either there's a bunch of either it's all filled up guys drinking, or you go to a dance club with lots of young college girls, and they're all huddled in cliques and they don't really want to meet you and they're extremely picky about who they'll talk to, and there's this standoffish defensive vibe around them, and so it's really not comfortable to meet people at all. I mean, it's just awkward and doesn't make you feel good to try to meet people. I mean, the whole thing is very dysfunctional and not natural at all.
Right.
But like I said, the bottom line is what's going to work. I mean, I've seen both approaches: guys that stay in the U.S. and try to fight everything and hope that they'll get the love and social connectedness they want and the love and the meaning they want. And I've seen guys that go abroad, and the thing is, going abroad works. It works consistently for the average guy, whereas most people who stay behind and fight a losing battle, you know, don't get results. That's really the bottom line, is what's going to work, what's going to get the results. What I'm offering does get results. Not for a minority of the people, but for the vast majority of the people. And that's the most important thing, is if something works, it's got to work for most people consistently, like I said. If it only works for a small number of people, like multi-level marketing or PUA, then it's not a system that works.
No,
it's that simple, you know. Yeah, once you take away all the hype and all the promises and all the bullshit, what works for the average person is what it really comes down to, and I can demonstrate that this works. I mean, not just me, but many other guys too. I mean, I have like about 400 letters in my fan mail archive that you can look at, and you can see that they're all real because they're all in different writing styles. They ask serious questions just like you do, Steve. Serious, legitimate questions, and none of them, nobody bullshits, and you can tell they're all real letters. And you can see that that you know, a lot of them have been abroad and they've said, oh, my life went from zero to 10 overnight, you know, from zero to rock star status,
right.
For example, in one of my testimonials. And that, I used to be shy and nervous around women. They'll say, I used to be shy and nervous around women. And when I went to Asia, I realized I was only shy and nervous around American women. That's another testimonial you can read in the testimonial section. And all those testimonials are sourced either to the form or to the full letter in the fan mail archive. And you can see that this is not about some secret formula that you have to buy or some secret technique that you have to pay me for. I mean, I offer all of this for free. The only thing I sell are some dating site affiliates and a very big ebook, you know, which I sell. But it's an option. I mean, I don't say, oh, you got to buy my book to learn these secrets. No, I don't say that. It's just, you know, a big version of something that you can buy. But there are no secret formulas that you have to buy. That's ridiculous. That's BS. And anyone who says that is BSing. I mean, it's not a magic technique. You just have to globalize your options and go where you're wanted. For example, here I'm wanted. Girls want to meet me, want to date me, and they're attracted to the guy, the way I look, and the person I am.
You know what?
So
it reminds
when
me.
When I'm
of,
here, I'm wanted.
It seems like every time a guy goes out in America, it's the same old song and dance. He's always hoping that this will be the day that I meet somebody, but you're always like trying to be on your best behavior. Why can't a guy just go out, be himself, and just go and have a woman attracted to him? It just seems like it's so much bullshit. There's something very unnatural about American culture, and I'm glad you're putting your fingers on it. I mean, making a point of it.
Yeah, and if you look at romance comedy movies, they always make it look very easy. Like Matthew McConaughey, for instance. He just goes out and he flirts with girls, and then they flirt back, and then they end up in bed together, and then they have these smooth one-liners. James Bond does it. Even those ugly guys on Seinfeld do it. I mean, it just looks so easy.
Right.
That, you know, in real life it's not like that, but I can tell you that I mean, when I go to bars in Europe, it's very similar to that. I mean, things happen there. I mean, you meet people. Girls talk to you. Things happen. It leads to dates there. I mean, what you see in those romance comedies and on Seinfeld, I've seen those happen in real life in bars or in discos overseas. I mean, you can take home girls and meet girls that like you and things develop. I mean, you don't need any PUA techniques. You just act fun and positive and have a good time and ask the getting to know each other questions, and then you hold hands and you start kissing. I mean, it just happens naturally. You don't there's not a technique you have to master. I mean, communication is not really a technique. It's a feeling, and it's a natural bond. It's a feeling, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But it is sad that in the U.S. that you go out to the bars, and if nothing happens, which is the way it is for most people, you still got to be positive and act like you're doing great and everything's great and you had a great time, and saying, oh, like every party you go to in the U.S., for example, even if it sucks, if you ask people, how are you feeling? Are you having a good time? They're going to say, oh, yeah, we're having a blast. You know, because they're all pretending that they're having a blast at every party they go to, even if they're not. You just have to – you always – there's this pressure. You always – there's a social mandate that you always have to pretend that you're having a great time where you go, even if you're not. And so it's like – again, it's a denial. Are you still with me?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the denial thing. It's total denial. And so – okay, your website is called happierabroad.com. It's all one word, and people can contact you through the email as well. And I want to thank you very much, Winston, for doing this interview, and I will probably do an interview with you again soon, okay?
Okay, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And if anybody wants to contact Winston Wu, it's happierabroad.com.
and his website deals with dating outside the Western world. Whether you go to the Philippines or Mexico or Eastern Europe, it's definitely stepping outside of the matrix. Is that correct, Winston?
Yep. Taking the red pill, so to speak.
Yeah, taking the red pill. Okay. Well, today's date is actually technically today's date is December 13th, 2009. It's 12:54 a.m.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I applaud you for your courage to cover this kind of stuff.
It is a controversial subject, but it has to be discussed because if we don't talk about it, we surely know that most politically correct heterosexual guys who don't want to be or people in general just don't want to talk about it. So thank you very much, and you have a great day, Winston.
Thanks, you.